Okay. Well, we're recording it now.
So you are?
Yes. Started a little early. Can always cut out the beginning later. Okay. Well, I guess we could just jump in and get started, because I know you have another call. So we don't want.
That's true, actually.
We don't want to keep you on too long. Well, we got a. For all the people on the call, we got a. This is a real joy for me, or a pleasure, or an honor, whatever word you want to use. All of which is tonight, I get to interview one of the people who's been instrumental in guiding me in business and in my hypnosis and training career, especially, and positioning myself in the world for marketing. And he continues to do that for me. And he's the one thing I always respected about him from the very first time I met him, which was the very first National Guild of Convention conference at Nashua, New Hampshire. I was at the very first one.
Well, that goes back a ways.
When it went to Nashua, yeah. And that was back when there was about 500 or 600 attendees. And you didn't know me, I didn't know you, but you spent. You probably don't remember it, but we talked for about 20 minutes one day, getting a cup of coffee. And so that's always nice to know that, what people say, that their mentors or other people are accessible. It's fun to see that it's still true. And I know that he still talks to people that come up and ask him questions, especially if you're an interested and motivated student and really want to learn. I've seen him go out of his way to help people. Like myself, like Tom Nicoli, like Kevin Hogan. So if you, those hypnotists on the call, if you've heard those names, this is the guy that helped that. So I'd like to welcome Elsom Eldridge to the call.
Well, thanks so much, Will. Really glad to be here.
Good. And I always like to start with the question of, I know we're going into the obvious expert and some networking and marketing, but since most of the people on this call, in fact, all of them will be somewhat familiar with hypnosis and NLP. That's how they get on my list. How did you get into the world of hypnosis and NLP, which led into your unique brand of marketing?
Oh, my. Okay, well, let's see. I always had an interest in hypnotism going back to when I was, 12, 13 years old. And I actually bought from I think Johnson and Smith or whatever was the catalog at the time, Melvin Powers' book on how to hypnotize. I was in private school at that point, Lenox School, and I read the book and believed that the book, having said that I could hypnotize almost anyone using the procedures there, well, I thought I'd try it. And so I tried it on my peers, on my classmates. And it was not for anything other than fun. In other words, it was not it was learning that, hey, hypnotism works. The kids loved being put into a cataleptic state. I loved putting them into a cataleptic state. It was when I first, it was really something that was fascinating to me, how the power of the mind, and then it went on for other kinds of things like memory and future kinds of things where I could give suggestions that would come, that would be followed later on. It was just intriguing to me. Well, that was sort of my interest in it from a hobby point of view, let's say. Then as I grew older and began doing seminars in other areas, primarily test preparation and sales training and so on, and I had a company called the Achievement Center in New Hampshire. And my interest in hypnotism had not waned, and I had a close friend who we had been buddies when we were kids. My dad was Episcopal minister at the in Nashua, New Hampshire, and Dwight Damon was a magician and at that time. And Dwight was at 16, 17 years old. I was 3-4 years younger than that. And Dwight was the guy that I was really interested in magic. And his dad's real estate office was right next door to the church where my dad was rector. And we got to know each other. And Dwight pretty much became my mentor in the area of magic, but I also was realizing that his one of his other major interests in his elder teen years was hypnotism. And so that, again, fascinated me. Then when I started the Achievement Center in New Hampshire, and doing seminars, I invited Dwight Damon and John Hughes to go out basically on the road, if you will, and do seminars on self-hypnosis. So I was sort of beginning of, I guess, the area at that point of my interest in marketing hypnotism. And that continued. I was marketing all kinds of seminars and programs and literally doing hundreds of seminars and workshops every month all over the country. And at that point, somewhere along the way, as the National Guild of Hypnotists began becoming very, very alive, I was invited to become involved with that in 1988, I think 87, that time frame, and became the director of the convention and helping develop the membership marketing areas, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Right. All right. Yeah, because I first met you at a hypnosis training in Chicago. I think it was 87. Does that sound about right?
It could. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's when you told everybody about the Guild and was starting to build a conference, and it took me a year or two to get there, but because it brought most of my NLP class to that little, it was a 2-day training.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was an area where there was we had certified instructors that weekend, as several, many weekends, in fact, doing trainings for hypnotism, and I was along to do a few hours on the marketing of hypnotism and how hypnotists would
Saturday
market.
Night, you did the marketing piece.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, and for the people that are, you know, newer in the field, you know, I'd been doing hypnosis and NLP for a couple of years, but there was nobody doing trainings all over the country back then.
Right.
And so, you know, we've seen this field grow literally from scratch. I know there was Gil Boyne and a couple people out in California, but other than that, it was hard to find a training. So those of you in the field of hypnosis and those of you who want to expand the field of hypnosis, this is one of the gentlemen you can thank.
And the beauty of it is, because the National Guild, because of everything NGH offers to its members, has really grown exponentially every year. I mean, we got over 10,000 members in 67 countries, I think it is. And it's incredible. The convention itself. I mean, I'm not sure, from the first convention was, I don't know, 500 or 600 people, the very first one. And now we're up to 1,800 people literally attending, with a couple of hundred seminars and workshops, and it's really exciting. And I just really enjoy the getting it all and helping, and with Gene Sutton, like, making it all happen every single year. The day we finish the convention, we're already working on the next one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I can testify to that. I've been to your place. And, of course, I've fallen by the wayside, but for years I was always trying to be the first person to get my proposal in.
but at least you're not the last one.
Yeah, but what I'd like, and that leads right into what we're going to talk about next. You know, you're the marketing guy. You're the guy that's built basically the National Guild and the, you know, and especially the convention of the National Guild, and you're always bringing new ideas to the table for all us instructors and all the people doing that. How did that lead into you starting what you really are getting known for now, which is the consulting world and also the how to become the obvious expert?
Well, I've always been involved in consulting since I was teaching at California State University. And I had a passion for helping teachers figure out how to give tests that would not diminish children's and teenagers' enthusiasm for education, and an additional passion for helping youngsters and teenagers learn to take tests in such a way that the pressure and the stress would vanish and they could really go into every test confidently. And that led into my trying to build, while I was teaching at Cal State Fresno, a consulting business. And that didn't start out, so if we're going to talk about how that sort of happened, one of the difficulties I ran into was that I was sending these brochures out throughout Central California, and I was not getting any response. It was a beautiful brochure, but no one was responding. And this was getting difficult because it was costing more and more money to send these brochures out. And I was teaching at the, and while I was teaching at the university, I was also organist at the Episcopal Cathedral in Fresno. And in order to earn more money to be able to do this marketing by direct mail, I started doing, sort of coming out of my, teenage years, I started doing magic shows for children's birthday parties just to have enough money to do the marketing. And none of it, Will, was working. I mean, literally, it was just sort of, it was like pouring money down the drain. Fortunately, there was a man by the name of Howard Shenson that I heard about, and he was in the same university system I was teaching in. He was down in Woodland Hills. And it was my understanding that he had cracked the code of attracting clients. And so I made an appointment to go down and meet with him and take him my brochure and learn, okay, how could I attract the clients I wanted, which would be almost any clients at that point. And down I went with, met up with Howard Shenson, and, well, it was kind of interesting. I showed him the brochure, and he said, Olson, I'm not sure we can use this brochure. And I have to tell you, my heart dropped because I said, wait a minute. The reason I came was so that you could show me how I could use this brochure. What do I need to do in addition to this brochure in order to make it work to bring me clients? And he said, I don't believe that you should be using this brochure. I said, Mr. Shenson, I have a garage full of these brochures. We have to figure out how to use them. And he explained to me that while I was sending these brochures out on a regular basis, they were, in fact, uninvited advertising. And they were arriving at the desk of the whether it was the superintendent or the guidance counselor or the principal, they were arriving at the desk of a gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper, he said, almost always had a cylinder right near that desk, somewhere round, somewhere square, somewhere whatever. And most of those brochures, he said, are finding their way into that cylinder, so you are populating the Central California dumps. Not a good usage of the brochures But here's the problem. They're not going to be looked at. Maybe you should figure out something you can send that would not be thrown away. I asked, what do you suggest? He said, have you ever written a book? And I said, no. Have you ever thought about writing a book? I said, well, yeah, well, sure, thought about writing a book. And he said, when are you going to write one then? And I said, well, just as soon as I get all the information I need on this topic of test enhancement and test preparation, as soon as I get all the information that I can, so it'll be really complete, so that then I should be able to do it. And Shemson said, also, dead people do not write books. I listened as he said, you know, we have another appointment coming up, and is there anything you can think of, Elson, that you could do a brain dump on? Something you've been working on recently. If you've been doing enough work on it, you could actually literally do a brain dump. I said, well, I've been working with my daughter on get a higher score on the SAT. And he said, well, then here's the idea. What I recommend you do is go ahead and you've got strategies, I imagine, for the verbal that you've come up with and thinking it through. You've probably got strategies for the math section. So go ahead and write down a list of the strategies of both verbal and math. Put down examples for each one, how to use those strategies. Complete SAT, and then create an annotated answer pages for the complete SAT. And I recommend you accomplish that before our next meeting. Mr. Shemson, I'm still teaching at the university. I'm still doing the music at the church. I'm still having to give even more magic shows so I can pay to be here with you. And I don't see how that's possible. Well, okay, you know. Oh, well, let me ask you, though, before you leave, before we cut this short, have you ever immersed yourself in anything? Where you just knew it was something you really had to do. And he knew somewhat of my story of having gotten into Harvard by immersing myself in how do you take the Miller analogy test, and the educational graduate school it is. And so I said, yeah, I have. He said, well, look, here's what you really need to do. If you're going to be able to attract clients, at least that would be my advice. And if you don't think you can do it, no problem. And if you can't do it, you don't do it. We do not need to have a second meeting. Tough love, man. It was sort of like, okay. All right, I'll try, said I. Shenson said, there is no such thing as try. You either will or it won't happen. One or the other. Well, let me tell you, when I came back to the next meeting with him, I had with me a pack of typewritten pages. Do you remember the Selectric typewriter, Will? You know, with the little balls and change the type? Oh, no, you're too young for that. Anyway, with these little balls, you change the type on. And I had used those to type it up with. And so it sort of looked reasonably good. And I had done exactly what he had told me to do. And when I got to his office, Will, on his table, there was a stack of, I guess it was index stock, 11 by 17 would have been the size. And it had printed on it, how to score higher on your SAT by Elson Eldridge Jr. And then down below that, it had National Test Preparation Center. And I said, what's that? He said, well, National Test Preparation Center, that's your new publisher, you. He had actually, with more faith in me than I had in myself, he had printed up covers for this information that I was bringing in that day. And from there, we went to a copy center, and he copied, made up sets of the material I brought because it was sort of, it looked good enough to do that with. And then we went to a printer's resource area, service area, and he had the covers he had printed up, perfect bound around the materials which we had just copied. And suddenly I had a book. A book. Now, having asked him next, what do I do with these? He said, now what you're going to do, I recommend at least, is put in the back of the book, put a list of the services you want to offer, and on the front, address a letter to each one of the people you're sending this to. That's the same people you were sending the brochures to that did not respond to the brochure. Send a letter that says, dear guidance counselor, dear principal, dear superintendent, with their name. Encloses a copy of my latest book. Well, it was my latest book. Your teachers will find very useful, as will the students in your school. I am enjoying sending it to you. I've enjoyed working on the book, and I would certainly enjoy working with your students or your teachers in the future. Best wishes, Elsa Miller Jr., educational consultant. It is interesting that short piece of history literally changed my life. Because doing what he told me to do, one thing he explained also further was that, hey, people don't ever throw away, that is the gatekeepers, they don't throw away books. But when the books arrive, they either arrive on the desk of the person to whom they were sent, or they get put in a bookshelf, spine facing out, so you have an ongoing ad for who you are, as the advisor or consultant, because if you wrote the book, you're the expert. You can be a consultant, you can be an advisor. It's sort of a whole new status piece in this country, at least. Wow. That is how I began successfully marketing myself as first an educational consultant, and then as time grew on, as a marketing consultant to consultants and coaches, and became the consultant to consultants. And then, of course, I brought that whole world over as I began working with hypnotists as well. Oh. There's the beginning of that story.
Yeah, well, and you shared that with me, told me to do it. That's one of the reasons I got some books out, and as you know, another one about to come out. I was on a plane ride coming back from doing something, as we always do. And I was talking to a guy next to me who was, ended up, he was a sales manager for a large auto dealership, you know, that had several dealerships.
Right.
And so we're talking a little bit, and, you know, he gave me his card, and I honestly didn't have any cards on me. So as we got to the airport, you know, we're getting our bags, I said, you know, I don't have a card, but here, let me give you my book. And it was that mind control book, and I gave it to him. He said, oh, I can't take this. I said, no, it's fine. You know, it's got my contact info. You know, it's the same as a card. I gave it to him. And about a week later, he calls and buys my home study course.
Nice.
Yeah. And so, in fact, we've talked about me coming up and doing a training for his salespeople.
And just how important that is.
Yeah, and it, rather than a 20-cent business card, I gave him a $4 or $5 book, whatever my books cost. But
they don't cost that much, Will.
Well, whatever it is, but you know, it's like still, it's think about what we spend to get a customer.
No kidding.
In my clinic business, I used to figure I spent $125 a customer.
Exactly. It's a very important lesson for everybody. In fact, this is kind of interesting. I was with my son in Barnes & Nobles in New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know, several years back. I guess 7, 8, 9 years back. I'm forgetting how many years it was. And my son Mark came over, and he had in his hands a book he'd been looking at. We frequently browse bookstores, and the book was one by Dottie Walters and her daughter about the speaking business.
Speak and Grow Rich?
One of her books, I can't remember the title of it, but it was one of the books that was by both.
Oh, okay.
And Mark said, "Hey, Dad, can we do a father and son book about the consulting business?" And I said, sure. That's a kind of an interesting idea." And it so happens we were getting ready to have lunch over at the Olive Garden nearby with Roger Parker. And I took the idea and I asked him about it. He said, he fell in love with the idea, encouraged us to do it. He even offered to write the foreword for the book. And so that was the beginning of the, gestation of of our book, Mark's and my book, called How to Position Yourself as the Obvious Expert, which continues to sell really well throughout the country and on Amazon and everywhere else. And literally, it sort of opened up a whole new area by coming into this new direction of marketing, because essentially this particular book is especially for consultants and coaches, turbocharge a consulting or coaching business. And it includes my story of how and everything I learned from Shenson, basically, is really detailed autobiographically. And then the second part of each chapter is my son and myself talking about how do you do each one of these strategies with a worksheet. And then on each page, almost within the chapter, the specific chapter, the relevant chapter, there's anecdotes and advice from other consultants, obvious expert consultants and coaches who have already made it because they either used one of the strategies or many of the strategies, and 200 consultants and coaches contributed to that book.
Oh, yeah. I know a few of them.
You sure do. I think you know several of them. And the interesting thing about that book, I'll just sort of throw out an advance notice, is we're in the middle of working on a similar book. The subtitle will be How to Position Yourself as the Obvious Expert, Turbocharge Your Hypnotism and NLP Practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one we're in the middle of working on now. Right. So, you asked about the obvious expert concepts. And essentially, and let me just run down them, because they are, at least I think, they're kind of important to no matter what practice you are in, whether it's a hypnotist or an NLP expert or whatever your business is, whatever anyone's business is, you can apply these strategies basically one by one, and they sort of build on each other. And as you elevate your status as what I call the obvious expert, let me explain what I mean by that. The obvious expert, for instance, we all have expertise of some kind. And so each one of us, everyone on the call, everyone that's going to listen to this call is an expert. And that, and each of us are usually expert in multiple areas, more than one. And the fact that if most of us sort of, we may put out brochures, we may put out cards, we may put out different things, but it basically, when we are the only ones that know we are the expert, or we're the primary ones that know it, and the world around us doesn't get to know it, well, that doesn't do us a lot of good. But if we can become what I call the obvious expert, where multitudes of people recognize us as the obvious expert in our specialty, then the world changes. The individual empires begin building, and you can do whatever you want once you've done that for yourself. And you can do it, by the way, in more than one specialty. So if you are an NLP expert, you can do it there. If you are a hypnotist, you can do it there, no matter what area you're in. And let me, Will, can I take a minute? I'll just take a minute and run down what the dozen strategies are, because they're kind of important. I don't want to take a lot of time on each one, but I think it would be useful to the listeners to understand that there are these dozen strategies that have worked superlatively for thousands of people, and they might find the list useful. And so if you have a paper and you have a pencil or a pen, and just sort of, I'm going to suggest, let's make a list. And the list would include, the first one would be the letter B. So put the letter B, and then next to the letter B, write books. Because as you probably figured out by now, I'm recommending that almost everyone ultimately should create a book, a published book for themselves, self-published usually, and just having that book for yourself will do tremendous things for your reputation. That's what we're talking about, reputation. The next letter would be R for reports. Let me back up to the books for a minute. One of the ways you start a book, if you haven't already got one, is make a list of, bear in mind that books are designed, nonfiction books at least, are designed to solve a problem. And the problem, in other words, here's the problem and here's the solution. And so you make a list for your book. You give it a title, at least a working title and a working subtitle. Then you make a list of, let's say, 12 items, 12 problems/solutions that you would address in this book. And those become, of course, your 12, let's say, 12 chapters. Well, when I say reports, go back and look at that list of the 12 chapters, if you will, and pick one of them and write a, I don't know, 12, 15, 16, 32-page report on one of them. And that report, by your name, once again is evidence of the fact you are the obvious expert. And you might even discipline yourself, consider at least disciplining yourself, to write a new report every month. I mean, that's doable. That is doable. Write a different report every month until you have each one of those 12 reports done. And, of course, you can use those to send out and hand out and make available. They are evidence of your obvious expertise, no matter what you feel. If you calculate in your mind, you just did 12 reports, and you're now at the end of the year, you've got those 12 reports. What could you now do with those 12 reports? Well, you've got a book. Take the 12 reports, and now they are your first book. So, okay, so we have books, we have reports. A, let's come down to A. A would stand for articles. And I recommend that you do articles on a regular basis. You can submit them to e-zines. You can submit them to newsletters on the Internet or otherwise in your specialty, newsletters that meet the target area you're in. And again, with your name and your resource box. Next letter would be N for newsletters. If you are the editor or publisher of a newsletter, you are the obvious expert in your area. And so with a newsletter, You become an aggregator of information in your field. And even though it's other people's material you're collecting, it still makes you the obvious expert because you're the editor, publisher of it. Let's go to D. D stands for delivering lectures. And I recommend getting out into the community and giving as many free lectures, 30-minute lectures to the service clubs as you possibly can. I have a whole hour lecture on that. Let's move on. I, for internet, you need to have, I believe, internet presence at least. And that comes from adding more content all the time. Give yourself another N as you're coming down in this list, doing this list as we go down. And you come up with newspapers and media, and I recommend sending out press releases on a regular basis. But everything you're doing, you write a book, you write an article, you do a lecture somewhere, put a press release out about it to your local media, and not just the media, not just the newspapers, but the other media you can work with too. Next letter is G for giving, in this case, writing giving. Because I believe the more you get yourself known as the obvious expert, the more you're going to want to and should give back to the people in your world, in your specialty, as well as in your community. The next letter is U. And U, in this case, stands for USP, unique sales proposition. Everyone on the call has their own unique sales proposition. Whoever you are, there's something that makes you different than if you're an NLP-er, then there's something that makes you different in some way, either your training or your background or something. Something you give that makes you stand out differently than every other NLP-er. A hypnotist, same deal. There's something about you that is different that brings your uniqueness to whoever your clients are. So that's USP. Next letter is N for networking. And we believe, and we'll talk a little bit more about the networking concept as we get into a couple of other areas of this call. But you want to network as much as possible. Next letter is O for organization. Join an organization or more than one organization in your field, and don't just join it. Become involved. Become a leader in the organization. Stand out. And that will do wonders for you. And finally, W for workshops and seminars. And you do workshops, you do seminars in any area. At conventions, in your community, in nationally, wherever you're doing seminars and workshops and seminars, it positions you as the obvious expert. So all 12 of those strategies help position your status as the obvious expert, climbing that particular specific ladder of success. And that's something that I just really believe. If folks would take that to heart and start working on those one by one, they will emerge with extraordinary success. Oh, by the way, if you take those letters that you just wrote down, if you wrote them on the page coming down, they actually spell branding you now. They represent the 12 chapters that are in this book. And I did not have that mnemonic in mind at all. It wasn't until later on when we took the chapters and we just came up with a letter to represent each chapter. But also we took anagrams, letters, and put them on the... And all of a sudden, it's sort of that branding you now emerged, almost like it was a universe kind of thing. That's my obvious expert stuff.
Good. All right. Well, that's some good information, and I know I've used a lot of it. And one guy, to talk about somebody we both know and many people on the call may know, is what Kevin Hogan does with writing articles for his newsletter. He ends up, they end up becoming chapters in his books.
Of course.
And, boy, that's because people wonder, how can he crank out, like, one or two books a year? Well, if you're writing one article a week, doesn't take long to put together a book or two.
That's the point. Oh, here's another tip, by the way. If you're not blogging, you should be. Everyone should be blogging. And if you, let's say if you blog for a year with all the articles you write in your blogging content, well, at the end of a year, end of 6 months maybe, you can take a look at the content of your blogs and often arrange that so that content can become a book for you. And there's a publisher actually came up with a nickname for that. So anyone that's using your blogs for a book, he nicknamed that a book, B-L-O-K.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, another thing I think you kind of touched on that I'd like to pick your brain and have you talk about is, you know, how attending seminars and conventions can, you know, turbocharge the health of a practice or any kind of business that you're in. And real quick, and then afterwards, go ahead, because I got a comment on that, because I know we both believe in this, not even taking classes, because besides what you learn, the networking opportunity at a class.
Oh, my word, yeah. And it works two ways, by the way. First of all, let's talk about going just as an attendee. Somebody, I mean, you just go to learn and get to know people. Now, I attend probably at least a half dozen major seminars every year. About half of them I speak at, and half of them I just go as an attendee. And I go for two reasons. One is to absorb as much new knowledge as I possibly can. I'll talk about that in just a moment. The other reason I go is to meet as many people as I possibly can. Both those that are attending, as am I, and those who are in their obvious expert positions who are leading the classes. The amazing thing is that the higher the level of the expert, I think, the more they are willing to share and enjoy meeting you. I mean, just the fact. And now we have something like, and I kind of suggest that people now get on Facebook.conference, because that's become a very professional networking concept where you sort of get to follow up on the people you meet at the seminars and conventions. What you don't want to do is just go and hide off in a corner. You want to get around mixing. Ask people questions. Let people come up to you and ask questions. Get to share ideas. Well, here's an important thing. Every time you meet someone, and this is almost in any networking situation, ask what their business is as if you care about them. Only mean it. And if you already know what their business is, kind of ask what they're doing. What's the next project they're involved in? Become interested in who they are and what they're doing. Don't turn that around and you say, hi, this is me, and I'm doing this, and how can you help me? Instead, work with the law of reciprocity. Work with the idea of ask the other person who they are, what they are, what they're doing, what's their next project. Is there any way you can help them? Because when you do that, number one, they become more interested in you, obviously, and they'll ask more about you. And that's how you begin a networked relationship. And do that you go to a seminar, you go to a convention, you can do that with dozens and dozens and dozens of people, meeting the leaders in the field and the people who are in exactly the same level you are, and that all blends together in a growth-producing way for yourself and your practice and whatever else you're doing. Now, when you attend a convention, let's talk about our convention. If you attend the NGH convention, I recommend, number one, get the catalog And I have some pages in there about how do you prepare to go to the convention. And take a look at who are the people that are speaking that you most want to go hear and go learn from. Then take a look at what the topics are, and then make another list of the areas you want to further your education in. At our convention, you've got a few hundred opportunities, both in terms of presenters and in terms of seminars and workshops, and sort of analyze what's there that would best meet your needs, and then work with the outline of what's the schedule of the seminars and workshops, and sort of set your schedule even before you arrive. And for our particular convention, can I say where they can find the catalog for that?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
You can get more information about the National Guild Convention by going to our blog, which is found at nghconvention2008.com. nghconvention2008.com. And there's all kinds of information, including you can download or at least look at the complete catalog, the Days at a Glance. There's a number of teleseminars in there that you can listen to, download, whatever you like. There's a lot of information there. But also, the document I'm talking about that helps you design the seminar or the seminars and workshops before you attend the convention will help you in your plans for networking with the people and on the topics that will be most important to growing your business on the other side.
Great. Well, I can give a different testimonial for that, too. It's like, as you well know, I teach the NLP up at the Guild. I think this is my 15th year. Does that sound about right?
I think so.
Yeah, and I'm an old-timer. But one of my assignments to my class, because I teach a couple of days before and a couple of days after, is they have to go and get in rapport with what I call high-priority targets in the NGH.
Oh, I like that.
You know, the people that are in the journal and the keynote speakers, and all that. And what they've all said when they come back, and about, most of the students do it because that's what I teach them how to do, is they come back going, wow, these are some really nice people, from Jerry Kine to Don Motton. You know, I've had people invited to trainings for free because they went and they networked and met people. Because at the Guild, I mean, at a lot of the conferences, especially at the Guild, people are wanting to give away information. I mean, yeah, we're there to train and teach and do the other stuff, but we do that. And then the other testimony I'll give is about how you network with people and make people feel important, ask about them. Somebody we both know, I haven't talked to him in a long time, to be honest with you, but you know him too, is Kevin Trudeau.
Oh, yes.
The billionaire guy from the Mega Memory and all his health businesses that he has now. But when I knew him, we'd go somewhere, because I worked with him for about a year, as you know. He had the unique ability to make you feel like you were the most important person in the room. When you were sitting there talking to him, he could make you feel so important. And I don't know if you remember that about him, but it was a fascinating thing. It was a fascinating thing to watch, because people go, well, how did he get to where he's at? Because, I mean, what am I, 52? He's 7 years younger than me, and he's worth $1 billion.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I would put a lot of that as he makes other people feel important.
I remember that just from he was at the New York, he presented at the New York convention.
Yeah, he was one of the first presenters, yeah.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that especially about him.
Yeah. So let me ask another quick question. How six secrets you always talk about how to easily and effectively use this whole social networking thing. I know I've had a call on that, and I'm exploring it. I'm a little behind the curve myself, so I'm working on that. So anything you can share on that would be great.
Well, I think the first idea is in that area, number one, is to don't be afraid of it. don't say, well, okay, this is going to become addictive, or this is going to take up so much of my time, or it's not going to do any good. Those are not ways to approach it in your mind. You see, the better you become known, each one of you on the call, to as many people as possible, in a sense, it is still networking, if you will, then the better your business is going to be, ultimately, the more successful your business is going to be. So let's just talk about a few of these. For instance, I already mentioned Facebook. And Facebook is really easy. Oh, by the way, in all of this social marketing and social networking, virtually is free. So if you can grow your business more, at least with one component of your marketing being social marketing, then you should seriously consider it. Facebook is one of them. And I would recommend signing up for Facebook for a couple of reasons, one of which, it'll bring you into the know of a lot of the ways that other people are using social marketing in an effective way. It also will put you in a position where you are further communicating with friends, and they call them friends. You may not know the person that well, but in social marketing, they're called friends, and you get to know more people. You can invite people you've never met before, and they will become your friend. Last week, you probably will know the name of Cialdini, right? You know, mm-hmm. Author of Persuasion Book?
Right.
Well, he became my friend on Facebook last week.
Oh.
Just by my sending him an invitation to become my friend. And so we are each other's, we are in communication with each other. Would that ever have happened without Facebook? No. I mean, no. So one of my recommendations, obviously, then, is find some of the social networking arenas that are easy to use, and you can become at least known in yourself. There's another one called LinkedIn, LinkedIn. And the interesting perspective on LinkedIn is that you invite people to link with you. And you know how it's suggested that we are only, 6 degrees away from almost anyone in the country? We might want to know.
Right.
6 degrees away. Well, LinkedIn kind of proves that premise. And as you become invited to link with others and others invite you to link with them, you can have, let's say, 46, no, let's back it up. You can have like 25 direct links yourself, but because of their links and then their links and then their links, all of a sudden you actually are exposed, if you will, with the possibility of people seeing the information about you to not thousands of people will, but tens of thousands, and as that grows just in a minor way to hundreds of thousands, and then be in it for a couple of years, and it's over a million people that literally that linkage reaches out. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Is it important? It's useful. It really is useful. That's two. The next thing I'm going to suggest is something that I've just begun using and just really become familiar with, and that's Twitter, twitter.com. And Twitter is a way that you can put up. You can only use 144 characters when you send something out. Total, 144 characters. And it's a way to get a quick message out on a regular basis, once a week, once a month, once a day, to the people that are following you, and you also find people that you can follow that'll give you tremendous information and insight on the field you're in. It's incredible. In addition, let me give you another one as far as Twitter goes, which is Summize, and it's S-U-M-M-I-Z. What you'll find is if you follow somebody, if you follow me or you follow Will Horton or you follow anybody that's on Twitter, as a matter of fact, Twitter, if you go to Twitter and you go for Hypno Convention, you'll find that a hypnotism convention now is Twittering, or tweeting, as they call it. Silly as that sounds, there are some major players, I mean major players, that are very involved in sharing ideas, sharing good information. It's just amazing. Here's another one for you, and that is so that you don't have to go to each one of these social networks, I recommend that you sign up for something, as they called, and I'll give you the link. It's Ping, P-I-N-G, .fm. I'll repeat that. Ping.fm. If you sign up for Ping, what you'll discover is that there are, I believe it's 16 different social networking platforms that you can connect to from ping.fm. And so what I do is I have signed up for all of them. And once every day or two, I will type a 144 character, just a short piece of information that I think will be useful to those who are involved in the field I am, which is marketing for consultants, marketing for coaches and hypnotists, for people that are interested in building their businesses. They follow me at any one of those network platforms. But what is the magic of ping.fm is I'll type in my 120, 24, 20, no more than 144 characters, and it puts that out to all of those social networks and puts an update there, all of them at one time.
Oh.
Let me give you one more, same kind of thing, friendfeed.com, friendfeed.com. And that connects you to 41 different social networking platforms where you can aggregate information from a whole lot of other people that are in your specialty. So why do you use social networking? You use it to build your presence and your expertise and announce it, number one. Number two, to learn all the important information as much as possible that is being shared by those you already admire and respect. That's my advice. Get involved.
Cool. And lastly, how can we quickly turn these networking meetings, when we go to the meetings, you know, like social meetings and things, into referrals? How do you do it? Because a lot of, like you said, a lot of people show up, they might network, but they don't quite turn the people into referrals.
Well, let's go back to what I talked about when we were talking about, networking in general. And my belief system is, and I write about it pretty completely in the Obvious Expert book, is when you go to a network, just as I described when you go to the conventions, you go to the seminars, when you go to these network events, and you're there with your cards in your hand, and you're invited to get up at some time in these meetings, and explain, and you sort of go around the room and you explain who you are, be sure you have practiced that introduction of who you are with your defined USP, unique sales proposition, what makes you provide, how you provide added value to who you are and what you do. And then as you mingle We continue with the idea of you go up to people and you don't hand them your card. You don't hand them anything. You talk to them and ask, gee, that's really interesting what you described about what you do. Can you tell me a little more about it? And search your brain to see if you have anybody in mind that could perhaps use their services. And if you possibly can come up with somebody who or who might be able to use their services, then let them know that you're going to be recommending them to somebody that you already know. Now, when that happens, the other person that you are networking with, just as I said before, gets more interested in you and starts asking you about you. Ultimately, there is this new energy field between both of you, and you both will wind up, if you really understand what the other person is and can do, and you have somebody or others that you can recommend them to, ditto the other way around. That is, you are guaranteed, literally guaranteed, to come away from a meeting like that receiving referrals on the other side. You have to position yourself in such a position, in such a way, that folks want to send you referrals. They want to believe you. They want to trust you. They want to know you, trust you, like you, so that you will, if you accomplish that through the various things we've been talking about tonight, you will build your business faster, more effectively, more certainly.
Cool. All right.
Want me to give out the link for the Obvious Expert book?
Oh, yeah. Give out the links for your expert, your Obvious Expert and anything else you need, too.
No, that's right. I already gave the link out for the convention. I want to do that one again, though, for the convention blog, which is nghconvention2008.com. And anyone that's interested in taking a look at what we have up about the Obvious Expert book, easy enough, you can go to obvious-expert.com, obvious-expert.com, and you'll find information there about the book. And this has been really enjoyable, and I'm honored you asked me to be here tonight. Well, really appreciate it.
Well, it was a joy to have you, and before we let you go real quick, I'd like to ask if anybody has any burning questions they want to ask. I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got to go get prepped for your next one, but does anybody on the call have any questions? If so, you could you could star 3, which will bring you back into the call. Does anybody have a question for I call him the E-Man?
I don't have a question, Will, but I have a comment.
Oh, okay. Sounds like Rich from Port St. Lucifer.
That's me. Speaking about the social networking thing, when the last time you had that on, and I actually signed up for Facebook and MySpace, and through MySpace, I was contacted by a comedian. He's a young guy, like 30. Well, it's young for me. And I'm actually booked a show on an open mic night for 2 weeks from last night. I went to their open mic, and I found. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have gotten that.
Oh,
plus, the networking thing. I hooked up with another guy today that he owns comedy clubs, and he's going to help me. I'm going to help him. He's going to help me to do some more hypnosis and get into the comedy clubs.
Cool. All right. Well, there's another example.
So that's, I mean, if it wasn't for the networking and it wasn't for the social marketing, I wouldn't have got either one of those things.
There you go. Another unsolicited testimonial for Elsom.
That's right.
Cool.
And I want to start doing the free lectures. So, Elsom, is there a place I can find out more about that?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I have a whole chapter devoted to exactly how to do that and how to make that happen for yourself in the Obvious Expert book, whole chapter there. And later on, if you want to get through Will, you can get a hold of me, and I'll be glad to talk you through it.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I get the book through you and get it?
Get it.
Well, that's
where obvious-expert.com will take you.
Okay.
Yep. Cool. Well, I'd like to thank you again for joining us on our call. I know you got to go get ready, or I'd keep you on longer. And I'm doing these calls, by the way. I tell everybody it was Elsom got me to do two things, which grew my business: was start doing these calls, and something I'm a little behind the curve, I haven't done lately, is put up the podcasts. He called me one day and said, you ought to do this, this, and this, and I went and looked it up and had a podcast up within, you know, that day, in fact. And I can honestly say I've gotten several dozen students just from the podcast.
And I don't know
how many have bought my home study courses because they may listen to a podcast and then just go buy that.
Sure.
And so to me, that's my, you know, and I pay to keep the bigger podcast thing going, and it's low-cost advertising.
And that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah, and in fact, I'll tell the story real quick and let you go. It's a networking story. Is I was in Malaysia doing a sales training for Avon, and of course I met that through people that I met and things like that. But I'm there, and the person doing the training comes up and says, well, somebody would like to come in at lunchtime and sit through half the day. Would you mind? They're from the New York office. And of course, like, no, I'd love it, you know, because I could network with them. Well, the guy comes in. He was head of global security for Avon, an ex-Secret Service agent. And he was, when he came in and introduced himself to me, he actually showed me on his iPod that he downloaded 5 of my podcasts.
Okay.
So he knew who I was. And so here was the head. And you know, I was still, you know, he came in, well, it was way before lunch. And, you know, here's the head of global security for Avon who is he's telling everybody what an expert I was because of the podcasting.
That's the point.
Yeah, and so it's like, boy, there's instant credibility.
That's right.
You know, so I'd like to thank you personally for helping me build my business, and I know you're going to help because I'm changing a little bit of how I do my business. So for that, I'm grateful for you sharing that with me because you're truly one of the people who gives back to the field.
And just remember that since you've got the podcast in play, every one of these teleseminars you're doing, you can
that's on the agenda this next week, yes.
Turn into a podcast as well.
Yes.
Right away.
Good. So I'd like to thank you for joining us, and I'll probably be talking to you over the weekend.
Chances are. Everyone have a terrific weekend yourselves. And, hey, thanks again, Will.
Yeah, everybody, for the Americans, celebrate the 4th. For the British, celebrate your loss. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Anyone there? Good night.